Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
Pelican invites you to take a beach break at one of their coastal locations. Pacific City, Tillamook, Cannon Beach, Lincoln City, and coming soon to Rockaway Beach. Pelican Brewing. Born at the beach.
All right, Daily Ticker time on a Tuesday, brought to you as always by our great friends at Pelican Brewing Company. Their Hard Hops presents today's Daily Ticker. Discover Hard Hops, Blackberry Hop Infused Hard Seltzer, and experience your hops differently. I believe we have resolved our YouTube issues, according to Jason Swigart. That's what he's telling me. We'll see if we can get back up and running. Apologies to anybody watching on there. Let's talk about the big game of the weekend with our good friend Adam Rittenberg of ESPN. At ESPN Rittenberg on Twitter, senior college football writer for ESPN. Adam, good morning to you. The thing that you can kind of blanket say about so many teams in college football is they haven't played anybody, and that's certainly true in Oregon and Penn State. What do you make of the two teams and how they're kind of heading into this big matchup against each other?
Yeah, good to be with you guys. I think, again, we probably know a little bit more about Oregon than Penn State, but there's a lot of unknowns. I think there's two quarterbacks who certainly have the potential to be in the mix for big-time awards, and you know, Dante Moore has been really impressive to me so far. But again, haven't seen defenses nearly as talented as the ones on either side that will be there. Again, Penn State, the big story is, you know, can they win the big game? And that's been the issue for James Franklin. What I point out in a lot of those losses is, you know, has he had the better team? And I think in most cases he hasn't. I think a lot of people would look at this matchup, given where it's being played, the experience level on both teams, and probably give Penn State a little bit of an edge. But, you know, they've got to get it done. And Oregon has certainly won, you know, some big games under Dan Lanning. They're not going to be intimidated going into State College. But we'll find out a lot about both of these teams. And the good thing is it's not an elimination game, and there'll be other opportunities for even the team that comes up short on Saturday night.
Adam Rittenberg thinks what of Oregon if they go into Penn State and win?
Well, I think that they're then possibly the team to beat in the Big Ten again. You know, because they got eliminated so early in the playoff, people forgot what they did during the regular season, which was beat Ohio State and win the Big Ten and go undefeated. And if they were to win this game, there wouldn't be a more impressive win anywhere in the country this year. You know, LSU's win at Clemson has been invalidated given what's gone on with Clemson lately. You know, Miami has a nice win over Notre Dame, but that was at home, and Notre Dame lost the second game. So I don't think there would be a better win in college football than if the Ducks can go into State College because of who's on this Penn State team. Like, yeah, Penn State may not turn out to be a great team. We don't know yet, but look at who's at quarterback. Look at who their coaching staff is. Look at their star power on the defensive side of the ball. So this would really change how a lot of us are viewing this Oregon team nationally and say, hey, they're not just a team that can get back to the playoff. They're a team that can make a run, unlike last year, and certainly contend for the national championship.
Is there one or two things that you're looking for in this game, whether it be a weakness or a strength or a matchup, just one or two identifiers that you're trying to point out and say this might end up deciding the outcome of it?
Well, I think Oregon's offensive line being able to protect Dante is critical because this is a very, very good defensive front for Penn State, even though Abdul Carter's no longer there. He's in the NFL, obviously. Deny Dennis Sutton, anyone who watched the college football playoff was noticing Denine Dennis Sutton as much or more than Abdul Carter. So, you know, having him, Zane Durant, one of the better interior linemen in college football, you know, getting Zariah Fisher healthy, it seems like going into this game. So that's a pretty full strength defensive line with a coordinator in Jim Knowles, who certainly has faced Oregon a couple of times. Last year once didn't go well for him. The second time it went extremely well for him. So I think that matchup, the Jim Knowles, Will Stein matchup, but also just the Penn State defensive front against Oregon's offensive line, which again was a signature position group under Mario Cristobal and has been a signature position group under Dan Lanning as well.
Another big one up north here in the Pacific Northwest is going to be Ohio State coming to Seattle. Huskies haven't fared rather well against number one ranked teams, but it's a big opportunity coming off a 59-point Apple Cup win. High-powered offense with some questions on defense. What are you expecting to see from Jed Fish and the Huskies year two hosting an Ohio State team coming in number one?
Well, I expect to see points. I mean, you know, Ohio State, we saw what they did against Texas, obviously, in the opening game. But Texas has had some problems after that point. And not to say that Ohio State isn't a good defense. I think they're a very good defense. This is a much better offense, at least from what I can tell, that they're facing, especially on the road this week. You know, in talking with Jed Fish in the preseason, Jimmy Doherty, their offensive coordinator, I know there's a lot of optimism about what they can be offensively. And you'd be hard-pressed to find a better triple threat right now around the country than Damon Williams Jr., Jonah Coleman, who, again, people need to realize how good he is and what he can be for Washington this year, and then Denzel Boston at receiver. I know they have other receivers that can attack. So this will be a really good opportunity to see just how good this Ohio State defense with Matt Patricia leading the way can be on the road. I do think Ohio State is going to score the ball, though. I think Washington's defense has had a few too many hiccups early in the year to give me a lot of confidence that they're going to shut down Jeremiah Smith and Carnell Tate and Max Clair and Julian Sayin. I think this is a big game for Julian Sayin on the road as a freshman, essentially, going into Husky Stadium. Tough environment, but I think he'll have opportunities to attack this Washington defense. So wouldn't shock me, guys, if this game got into the 30s. Even though Ohio State has been very stingy in terms of allowing points so far, they just haven't seen a complete offense yet like the one Washington has.
Yeah, not to mention being on the road. That's a big part of it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Adam Rittenberg, our guest, senior college football writer for ESPN at ESPN_Rittenberg on Twitter. You can go give him a follow there. When you look around the country, I guess what's the biggest surprise to you? Like, I'll throw three different things at you. The implosion of Oklahoma State and what has transpired there, maybe seeming like the writing's on the wall, it's over. Luke Fickell has been a disaster at Wisconsin, and their fans were yelling to fire him throughout the entire game as they get smoked at home by Maryland.
Good time to give an extension.
And then the Dabo thing. Like, how do we avoid the Dabo elephant in the room? Like, what do you make of some of these disastrous starts for respected or once respected head coaches?
Well, if you're asking who's most surprising, it's the Dabo thing, because, you know, they were set up as a team that a lot of us thought was a clear favorite in the ACC after winning that conference, kind of a backdoor conference win last year, but they still did it. And you looked at what they had coming back on the defensive line, a quarterback, at receiver, in some of the positions that they've traditionally been strong. And yeah, it's been a meltdown. I mean, that performance against Syracuse, there was nothing fluky about it. They were humbled on their home field. And I think that's why you saw the reaction from Dabo even yesterday, you know, still trying to climb out of a place he hasn't been in a long time as a head coach. You know, the other two situations, you know, again, I covered Oklahoma State's regular season finale at Colorado last year, and it was one of the worst games I've ever watched. Colorado didn't even play well, and they won 52-0. I mean, I think they were sacked. Shadur was sacked like 7 or 8 times. It didn't matter because Oklahoma State had just given up, and it was just a brutal watch. Anyway, so that was my mistake for going to that game. But I guess my point is I'm not shocked that Oklahoma State is still trying to figure it out, and it probably will result in new leadership there. I think that's the athletic department as a whole that's looking for a pivot, and that pivot will likely come here in the next few weeks or months. So, and then in Wisconsin, yeah, it's just, you know, we all thought that Luke Fickell was going to be that hire to take Wisconsin from the land of very good to elite, and it's been just the opposite. And part of that is, you know, a string of quarterback injuries that they continue to have with Billy Edwards Jr. now, the latest. Part of it was a bad decision to try to go to the air raid his first 2 years, and that just isn't going to work at Wisconsin, and they're paying the price for that. And also the league has gotten tougher, and you know, they were a team in the Big Ten West, and you know, sometimes you didn't have to play Ohio State or Michigan, but you also never had to worry about Oregon or Washington or USC or any of these other teams. So it's just been a combination of factors that has put Wisconsin, you know, really in its most vulnerable position in a generation. They haven't been this down as a program in a very long time.
I'm putting you a little against it here, and I should have texted this to you when I reached out to see if you could hop on, but my co-host has his dirty poll, his top 12 teams of college football, since his nickname is Dirt. I'm curious if we can get Rittenberg's top 12 rankings. Who would your top 12 teams in college football, if you were to try to guess the 12 best teams in the sport that'll eventually get to the playoff, who would Adam Rittenberg put on that list?
Oh, so we're doing playoff, or we're just doing top 12 anywhere?
Yeah, because those are different, because then you got group of five included and conference champions and all
that. Let's exclude the Memphises and the Tulanes for now. Who would your top 12 teams be?
Okay. Yeah, so you know, we do a power ranking, so I can try to throw this together every week. So I think my latest power ranking, I don't know if I'm getting this completely right, but it was Ohio State 1. I think I actually went Georgia 2, Miami 3, but you could make a case for Miami being 2. And then Georgia. And then I, you know, certainly then there's that group with Penn State and Oregon and Oklahoma. I like Oklahoma. I still don't think that they're elite, but they've made a major stride this year, with Ben Arbuckle and Don Mateer coming in from Washington State. I think Florida State, Texas A&M, Indiana. I think what Indiana did last week, and I witnessed it, was remarkable. So it was like at us to 10. I think Texas Tech, I just talked with Joey McGuire this morning. He's really excited about you know, his team. And then, you know, at 12, I think you could probably go Ole Miss. I'm just not sold on Texas, guys. I think that the issues at Texas go beyond Arch. I just don't think that their receivers are elite. I don't know if they're as good at running back as they were last year. They're awesome on defense. And if some of those other position groups can catch up a little bit, they should be fine. But I'm just not ready to put them, you know, into that top 12 just yet. And if I didn't say A&M, I would put them, you know, certainly in that mix too.
So your elite is Ohio State, Georgia, Miami, and then there's the next tier that Oregon is involved in.
Well, part of that's that those teams have all had better competition today. And that's not Oregon's fault. It's not, I mean, I guess you could say it's Penn State's fault because they didn't schedule anybody. But we just don't know what they are at this stage. You know, whereas LSU, for what it's worth, has wins over Clemson and Florida. Yeah, obviously, Miami has looked really good. And their win over Notre Dame, I think, will get better and better. And then Texas, and then Ohio State has the win over Texas. But you know, shoot, if Oregon goes in and beats Penn State on the road, or if Penn State is dominant against Oregon, I think that both of those teams have a chance to rise in whatever the next ranking is.
Yeah, great stuff. Yeah, Adam Rittenberg, senior college football writer for ESPN. Give him a follow on Twitter at ESPN Rittenberg. Enjoy maybe the best college football Saturday we've had in a long time. It's a great slate from start to finish. Thanks as always for the time in Portland, and let's do this again soon.
All right, guys. Appreciate you. Thanks.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.